just in the van here on the other side of the farm. And Chris, what have you seen?
We did this last week, woodland green woodpecker, and we're right out in the open on the horse pastures, and a pair of green woodpecker has just flown up into the tree in front of us. And I mentioned this last week, one of their tricks is if they see something a bit uncertain of, they're in a tree, they just hoik themselves round the other side of the branch, and both of them, quite large, our largest woodpecker, both of them have become invisible.
Yes, where have they gone? I saw their very strange loping flight towards that dead tree.
Yes.
And now they've gone.
No, they've joined up. So I think that's our third pair that I've noted on High Ash Farm. They're doing really well. Great spots are doing really well. And the one that I'm concerned about, I did take you to their nesting site last year, was the lesser spot, Dendrocoppus minor. And we're not quite certain why they've declined. Well, I came down to this corner. I'll just put the little truck in reverse. I came to this corner of the farm where the woodpeckers are for a completely different reason. And that's to show you this tree in front of us. It's a venerable old ash tree. And I'll just move the car. We are 20 yards from it. I'm going to turn the engine off. Handbrake on, and we are being stared at by somebody who's very grumpy indeed. Not my farming neighbour. I'm just going to pass these over to you, a pair of binoculars. Now, there's an enormous hole, Matthew, in the side of the tree.
Yes, I've got it on.
And at the base of the hole.
Oh, there he is. I would have never seen that, Chris. There he is.
It's a little owl. Athene noctua, and again we mentioned that with some footage where it nested last year on our little talk we did at Bungie at the Fisher Theatre, and got some lovely footage, and the same pair, at least I think they're the same pair, and the male is staring at us. He's tiny, only about 100 mil tall, 4 inches in
old money. Piercing large eyes though.
Yes, yellow eyes. Always look very grumpy with a kind of permanent frown on their face. And we are so spoilt to see that. I'm going to keep us in touch and we'll visit it again in a week or two and we might see the youngsters. But there's a pair there and Mum is already incubating. The tree is quite hollow. It goes down quite a distance, almost down to ground level. And a little bit of a secret. Can you see the droppings just beneath where he's sitting? Yes. The tree is kind of whitewashed.
That's a bit of a giveaway, but otherwise the bird has such perfect camouflage for that tree.
Absolutely, and that's the secret of them. And I've learnt to look when they're perching out on branches, out on the tree. You suddenly look for, well, the only way to describe it is about the size of a clenched fist. Perfect camouflage, though. And against the bark, the plumage almost looks like a mirror image of the bark, and the same colour as well. But look at that, just looking back at us. We're just pointing down the hill a bit. I don't know if we can. The truck might, I was going to say, you might need to get out and push Gudgeon rather than start the car. It might roll. we're both rocking about. Let's just see if we can get a little bit closer without frightening them. Now I turn the engine off again. Yes, now we're freewheeling towards him. And what I like about wildlife watching is you don't disturb what you're looking at when you get there. I'll have a little look through the binoculars. What are we? Oh, wow. He's squatted down. He's still facing us. That's, what, 25 feet from us. Britain's smallest owl, reintroduced species. We've got lots of fossil records of them from way before the last ice age. So lots of people say, don't count them at all. They're non-native, but I promise you they're at home in the British, as home in the British Isles, as they are in southern Europe, where you can also find them there. Oh, what a treat. What a podcast. Look, yeah.
The little owl.
Little owl as well to finish us off.
And green woodpeckers. Yes. They're still making themselves scarce.
Yes, that's the trick they have. They're notorious for that, and there could well be a hole in the... That's a venerable old oak with what we call a stag's head on the top of it. Lost all the twigs, but it's regrown again from lower down, and it's going for a second sort of life, if you like, almost. But anyway, I'm just going to drive us a little bit away. Then we've got some questions to answer.
Yes.
And a few... Let's just go backwards away, and all being well, he'll stay there, which he is. There. And then we'll just drive away like that. We're 50 yards away now. So just move off. And we didn't see Mrs. because I'm pretty certain she's incubating and just keeping the eggs. They're round, spherical eggs. And that's her job, to keep them warm. He'll be feeding her, though. Courtship feeding's finished, and he's actually taking the food in just to keep her sustained. And there's another little owl box just there, where another nest, only 50 yards from the other pair. And in the corner of the wood in front of us, that's County Hill Plantation, a big sandy warren there. And I used to go up there as an 8-year-old, sit on the corner and watch the rabbits. And I came back and told my father that there were owls going down rabbit holes. He shrugged his shoulders, stupid boy. And they don't go in rabbit holes. And it was many years later, I saw it again and again and again. And we actually came across it a few years ago on a different site on the farm. A pair of little owl nesting in a rabbit warren right out in the open on high ash. And yet they've got all these old, venerable old oak trees to nest in. So it's the exception that proves the rule, as they say.
Right. You weren't a stupid boy.
He's probably right, yes. Probably right in the long run, yes, for trying to farm this inclement land, which is all sand, gravels, clay. So I've got everything you could possibly wish for. And it's quite a challenge with all the hills and the drought. The droughts we've had started in 76, the first one, where I was combining. This will amuse the farmers. In top gear on the combine, as fast as it would go, and you'd combine for an hour before you got a tank full. It was just drought stricken.
Just dust.
It was basically dust I was combining, yes. So it's all changed now. It's green and verdant, and I've just seen a kestrel go into a box and a tree further up, the next one up the row. We might catch up with that next week. We can sit on the top of the hill and do a bit of luxury bird watching. Right, we've got some questions to answer now.
Hang on, before the questions, what have you seen, Chris?
A stoat coming down the hedge towards us. Unfortunately, I've let Rat out of the truck, and it was just coming along, sitting up on its hind legs vertically, and you could see that cream-coloured line on the chest.
I saw the bib, the white
bib. The bib, right. So you can tell the difference between a stoat and a weasel. With a weasel, it's got W in the word, the line where the cream-coloured fur joins the brown colour on the back is wavy, and in a stoat, it's a straight line. So that was definitely a stoat, and it's gone into the hedge. Rat's working his way along the other side of the hedge where we are. It's a good old thick blackthorn hedge there, and it might pop out again any second. But what it's doing, it's looking for small mammals, things like long-tailed field mice, anything in a burrow, and it go down there, or even young rabbits at this time of the year. That was a sight and a half. Oh, no. Well, life's just overflowing on this week's podcast. Come on, rats come out of the hedge exactly where the stoat was. Mustela ermina, and they do smell rather. So his tail is wagging. He's picked up the scent, and he's got no chance of catching that. But he's walking up the scent line where the stoat came down. Well, Matthew, look.
There's your stoat.
There's a stoat.
Oh, large white bib.
Oh, goodness.
That is a treat, isn't it?
Look at that.
They are so invisible.
Quickly, if you're quick, you might get the binoculars on it. Focus them in. Oh, it's ducked down.
I got a few seconds.
Yes. Oh, wow. It's still there. Oh, there it is. There it is. Ears up.
It's like Zebedee popping up.
Look at that. Oh, goodness.
I can see almost a cat-like face.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and very distinctive canine teeth there.
Oh, have a look, Chris. Have a look through the glasses
look
there.
Look at this. We are truly spoilt. Oh, look. Yes, remember, the same family as the otter. Same shape, lithe, duck down again. I think it is still there, or there's a tiny hole in the edge of the horse track, and it's up again. Ooh, you don't know how spoiled. No, many states, they just would not tolerate that. They have to be controlled, and yet it's given me joy, pleasure, and it's part of what we call biodiversity. You couldn't make up what we're seeing. That is fabulous. Look at it, sitting bolt upright, 10 yards away.
The little ears.
And listening and looking all round and scenting, because that's where Rat was just a moment ago. It's still there. I don't believe it.
Down again. But they're so difficult to spot. And here we are. We just parked up for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Look at Rat sunbathing.
He's lying on the ground. He wants a tummy rub, I think.
Oh, right. There's a job for you.
Here he is.
Good boy.
Thank you for joining Chris Skinner, myself, and old Ratty the Terrier on High Ash Farm at Caister St Edmund. If you want more tales from the countryside, we've got a weekly podcast, the Countryside Podcast with Chris Skinner, and you can go to High Ash Farm website for more details. But I'll be back here next month with a fine selection, especially for Chatterbox listeners, the Norwich Talking Newspaper. Bye for now.